This show is part of the Modern Witch Podcast Network. For more shows like it, visit www.modernwitch.com. Hello, everybody. So this isn't something that I normally do. If you are a regular listener and you'd rather stick to the normal kind of show, then just skip this episode and hop on over to the next one. If you are somebody, on the other hand, who wants to sit down with me and get real as I get candid, I suggest you grab something to drink and get cozy. It's going to be a long one. Also, warning, I get a little rambly from time to time, but you'll just have to excuse me. I was feeling a little bit raw and open, and I was trying to be as I recorded this.
What is that? It's a little bag made from the skin of a toad.
Does it matter? She's tampering in dark sided stuff!
Yet in our own supremely rational time, there has been a dramatic rebirth of the ancient arts of witchcraft.
You're listening to the Modern Witch Podcast with Devin Hunter.
Okay, so today I want to talk to you about what happens when you do magic and it works, but it takes you off your path. I also want to talk to you about the ghosts of unfulfilled potential. So when you're a spiritual author, and it kind of doesn't really matter what the topic is, if you've got like more than a couple books out and they're oriented in any sort of self-helpy kind of way, which my books tend to be. My books are books that you can read, not just to get an idea of what witches do and what's going on and what a spell looks like, but also there's like, they're loaded with exercises and they're loaded with philosophy and my approach on basically not just magic itself, but like how to apply it and when to apply it and all of those sorts of things. So when you do that, when you write books like I do, there is an expectation that you just kind of have your shit together. And I like to think that for the most part, I do. And that's because I've just had to grow up and I had to figure things out. And magic has always been a part of that to some extent. But writing books on witchcraft and things and all this was never really part of my life plan in the way that other things had been that didn't quite work out. And that's like a whole other discussion. I'm very happy. I'm very blessed. And I always knew I was going to get published like and write witchcraft books. Like that was, it was always a voice in the head, but it wasn't necessarily part of the plan. It was more like a wish, something that might come to be one day. But there tends to be among authors and the writing community, this idea that you have to be kind of perfect once you make it. Once you actually are established, you have to present yourself a certain way or people aren't going to want to come to you for advice and things like that. And so there's a general kind of like moratorium on doing what I am about to do, which is to get real with you and talk to you about this very strange experience that I had and my feelings around it, but also kind of what's come out of it, because it's been a huge life lesson. And I feel like you deserve an answer as to like where I've been and what's been going on. But I also feel like for my work as a spiritual teacher and author, this is something that is powerful, and I wanted to share it with you, and I wanted to open up a little bit and be vulnerable in this way and talk about this strange magical thing that happened to me that I'm a little embarrassed about, and do it in the spirit of all of us learning from my mistake. So okay, so this all starts at the beginning of the year, and at this kind of time in my life, I was not feeling very good about the prospects of like where I was headed with my career. And a big part of it was we started to see book sales drop just across the board because people were coming out of COVID and they were spending their money doing like outdoor things and developing new hobbies. And life was getting not back to normal, because I don't think we were ever going to be normal after we survive a plague, but whatever that new normal was, right? And in the process, I was not able to go back to my store because we closed the store at the start of the pandemic, which was a very good move for us long term. But now what do I do, right? Like I didn't have that. I didn't have my shop anymore. And so I didn't have that to be part of my new normal. And I had had this weird conversation with a publishing friend about basically like what it takes to survive and live off of royalties when you write books like we do. And I know that you all hear that we don't make a lot of money, but let me just share with you that like an advance, like a typical advance for somebody who writes a nonfiction book for a company, let's say like just a cookbook, a typical advance is usually somewhere around like 20 to 50 grand. If you write a book that is for like a Hay House company and it's a book on like angels or something, you're probably going to get like 110 grand. If you wrote or something around that, I don't know. I'm just like, that's kind of the trajectory. Like it depends on who you're writing for, all that stuff. Llewellyn and Wiser and the companies that tend to write to publish witchcraft books are not dishing these huge advances out. That is not happening. A typical advance, I can't really speak for everybody, but I can say that from what I do know and from what I have talked with other authors about, is actually probably just like an extra paycheck for the average American. And so it's actually not a whole lot. So when you think about like us making a bunch of money, we're really not. And a lot of people, believe it or not a lot, but I would say a handful of authors every year don't pay out their advances. Like their books don't sell enough to pay out just what was there, even if it was only a couple, but maybe like 2 grand, right? If that. Like I think my common thing that I hear from most people is like $500 for an advance. And so not everybody even pays that out. Right. And so it really depends on who you are, if you're able to sell books, if you're able to work in a very specific way. Right. But even more than that, it's about essentially what you're writing and is if it's like too niche. Right. Like it's really easy to go way too niche with a book. And then your only available audience is going to be the 500 people on earth who are interested in this obscure thing that you're writing about. And so it's really difficult. If you are in the boat of being an occult writer, it is super difficult because most people aren't occultists. Most people look at the occult like it's weird and that we are weird for practicing it. And so it's a whole thing. Anyway, so I have come across a couple of instances in my life where I could have hit a moment of success and I didn't because I'm a witch, because the people I was working for or the people who I was potentially going to be working for found out that I was a witch and then found a way to kind of remove me, or in some cases just flat out told me, sorry, you're a witch, we can't have you present this company, or so on and so forth. So like things have happened and it's been really devastating in the past. And so I admit that for as sure as I am about I'm a witch and this is who I am, I've gone through periods where I've questioned how much energy I want to put into developing a whole career around it. And when is it too late to change that? Like, that's been a thing for me. And it's not because I don't love you, and it's not because I don't love writing and I don't love magic. It's just because I could write about other things, and I could do other things that wouldn't make me stand out in the quite the way that this particular path has. And I love the work that I do, but I'm also a real person, right? And I have to live in a real world. And I've always been somebody who believes magic should be woven into everyday existence. That is really hard to do when you are a writer of the topic, because it's literally in everything that we do and talk about, it's nonstop, and you get burnt out. So you just kind of run out of bandwidth after a while. So picture it. It's everyone's going back to work. I don't have my shop. I have written 5 books. The sixth book is in work with the publisher at the time. And I have started to think that I'm running out of ideas. I don't know what I'm going to keep writing about. I don't want to make a bunch of crap up and be disingenuous, because if there's anything I know about my readers, it's that they like that I'm real. So I start to kind of go through this process where I'm like, I need to walk away for a couple of years. And it's not, most authors don't pump out a bunch of books like I did. Like that, most authors don't like buckle down for years and just write book after book after book. And I'm so glad that I did, because I loved the experience and I loved the opportunities and the things that were coming up. But there was a pressure there that not from my publisher, not from the people like that were super close to me, but just from myself and from expectations of knowing the industry, just the publishing industry, and knowing that if I didn't get my like certain amount of work out at a certain like within a certain amount of time, I was probably just going to kind of disappear. And I didn't want that to happen. So, and I didn't, which is great. However, in that whole process, I exhausted myself, like emotionally, spiritually, mentally. It was all just kind of out there. And life was changing for a lot of people at the time. And so things were scary at the start of 2023. And I was in a space where I had started to write a nonfiction novella series, which I have 3 novellas out on Amazon Direct, Kindle. Go for it. They're there. Please enjoy them. Darren Sparks is my pseudonym for fiction. But yeah, so I wrote these sci-fi novellas, and they were fun, and I was really enjoying it. And I thought, you know what? I think I just want to put energy into this. And I would, you know what? There were other parts of my life that I just haven't paid attention to, things that I was really into before I became an occult author. Like, I used to be a choreographer. People don't know this about me. I was a dancer, and I was a choreographer, and I worked with teenagers in schools, and I loved it. It was like this fantastic thing. And it was a big part of my identity before I moved to California and before I put all this energy into becoming an author and doing these things. And I missed it. I missed having a body that like wasn't just feeling gross all the time because all I do is sit in front of a computer. Like, you know, when you're a dancer, you move. And I missed that. And I thought, you know what? I want what I do to matter. This had become another thing that had come up in all of it is like, well, whatever I do moving forward, I want it to matter. And it needs to matter. To the world. Like, I want it to make the world a better place. It doesn't need to matter to everybody, but it needs to matter in the world. Like, this is a really important thing for me. So if you heard on the last episode, I took this little side job working with a friend who then left me with this program, and it was working for a high school as a choreographer with their marching band department, and I was working with the color guard, and I have this very weird obscure skill set. I am a marching band nerd by nature, and so I thought, okay, yeah, I could totally help this guy out. And then he did some dumb shit. He just did some really dumb shit, and he was not good at what he was doing, and he had lied about who he was, and I got the job. Now, I will say, and I haven't admitted this out to a bunch of people because I knew that it would have to be a whole discussion, but I did a spell. I did a spell to get a job working back in the color guard world. I wanted it. I missed it. I thought, oh, this would be a great thing, right? I'm in this weird transitionary place. So I did it in the springtime. I get the job in this very weird way where this person ended up kind of dumping me with all of the stuff to do. And that happened in the summertime. So I spent my summer working for this high school, and it was like 60 hour weeks, people. Like, it wasn't just me going and working 4 hours, you know, twice a week. No. I inherited a program that had 2 different shows that I had to design and choreograph, and design work is just a lot when you're a competitive group. And they were 9 months behind the season had started. So I had to do 9 months of design work and all this stuff within this amount of time. And while I'm doing that and I'm working with the kids, I'm realizing that the guy who the guy who had brought me in, was not like mentally in a place to where he should have been working with kids probably. And I'm finding stuff out about that. And so I'm trying to work with the kids through just some really horrible things that he had said to them about it just, you know, and kind of this mind fuck they had given. And I just realized like, okay, there's a problem here. So it was this huge undertaking, and I shit you not, 60 hours a week, because I had to write not just the choreography and figure all of those things out, but then I had to work on the kids had a class that I had to write out, like an actual class in school. It was a whole huge ordeal. And that was all I did nonstop. I was color guard guy again, and I loved it. And I had signed a book contract the week that all of this happened. I signed a book contract And I thought, okay, I'll get to it. I'm going to write this book. But I'll do it, you know, I'll do it that during the daytime. I'll do the color guard stuff in the evening. It didn't work out like that at all. So I was there for about 7-8 weeks, and I was damn good at it. And if you follow me on social media, you probably saw posts and things about what I was doing. And I was really good at it, and I loved it. And I was really proud of myself for being there. And I loved working with kids, and I love, because when I was a kid, marching band was my, like, it was my escape. Like, that was a big thing. And I know a lot of you are band nerds out there, so woo woo, go band nerds. But it was my escape. And a lot of us had, we needed that when we were kids, right? Like, I mean, it just is what it is, but it was a safe place. And I did 6 years of marching band in high school. And then I, for several years afterwards, was a coach and directed a program. And it was a big thing for me. I love it. And then I walked away because I had to do this writing stuff. And I'd said this for years, that I couldn't have done that and this. Like, I could not have written books and done the work that I had done and that, because it takes so much time, and it's year round, it's nonstop, it's an activity. Like, especially the color guard aspect of it, it's considered the sport of the arts. Like, it is a very intense thing. These kids are doing incredible things out there, and they're tossing equipment in the air and catch, like, it's there's a lot going on, and it's a very intense activity. And it just takes forever. So, I mean, it takes all your time. And so I had done that for years, and for some reason I missed it. I thought, I'm going to go back. And so I went back, was there for a while, and I realized probably the second day that I was fucked, because the kids were going to look me up. And there was, and I had, I'm very big on separating, like, church and state. I'm very big on not wanting to, first of all, especially if you're in rehearsal, the last thing I want to do is talk to them about something that isn't about what we're there to do, you know, things like that. So I put a wall up, and I'm like, I'm not going to, the other thing is, they're teenagers. I don't need to friend them on social media. Like, you know, all of that stuff. I'm like, don't look for me. Leave me. You know me here. Here's my email address. Give your parents my phone number. That's it. That's our degree of communicating. Right. And so that was dumb of me, because of course the kids went and looked me up, like, instantly. So I, which is fine. And nobody tried to friend me, but it was very clear that they had looked me up. And, I am there for several weeks. Everything's going really well. I'm feeling good. I'm doing well. Everyone's really happy. And I thought, and at least the staff were really happy. I worked with this huge staff, and it was an honor to be part of a program like that. And I found out that one of the kids had worked out an arrangement with the guy before me to be on the team, even though she was going to be missing for half the season. And I was like, what is that about? And so that kid was not doing well. They were struggling already. They were going to be missing half the season. So I cut them, right? And so that was a Friday. And that was after talking to everybody in the staff and trying to figure things out. I cut them from a position, not from the whole team. But it was enough so that was Friday. Their parents complained on Saturday about an Instagram post from 2019 where I was shirtless. And it was enough that for some reason that was the reason they gave me on Monday morning when I was called into the principal's office and fired. And it was devastating. It screwed me up mentally, emotionally. I was a wreck. I cried. It was very bad. It was really, really, really bad. And I went through a big, huge, dark period for a couple of months after that. And it was for a couple of reasons. One thing was, I had done of course, I get the job and I do a tarot reading, and I'm figuring, how is this going to work out, right? And it ends in the tower. And in my head, because all of the stuff was going on at the time with the guy that I had worked there, had brought me on, right, and that we ended up replacing, I thought that was what the tower was. Nay, nay, my friend. Nay, nay. So I was not expecting it, but when I get the message that he wants to see me, I of course know exactly I'm going to get fired for something. I don't know what it is, but it'll be something. And it was this. And the post itself was actually a post that was not only supporting, like, body positivity. It was a spiritual post. It was a post about it was a pagan post, right? And this particular parent who I know is complaining is a Mormon. And so Mormon that the reason why this kid was supposed to be leaving was to go back to Utah for a while. And so I know, and there were other things that I can't get into, but there were other things that were just very clear, very conservative person. They didn't like me, and that's just what it was. And so this all happens. I, of course, am like, there's no way. I can't really fight it too much. I could have, actually, because I was hired by the school district itself. But I volunteer at other places, and I just didn't want to get the reputation as the guy who sues school districts. So, despite knowing the reasons, and despite it being really clear that the school district didn't know who I was when they hired me, and because I'm not just a witch, right, on Instagram, I'm an author who has said on a couple occasions that I wanted to write children's books so that I could basically make all your kids witches. So, you know, I mean, and those were like in my posts. So, I mean, it wasn't a raunchy post. Like, Instagram didn't take it down. It's literally just me shirtless, and I was holding an allocation in front of my crotch. But it was like you couldn't see anything. Like, nothing was dirty about it, and it didn't look. Like, Llewellyn didn't say anything to me. The organizations I volunteer for didn't say anything to me. Like, nobody. It just was a thing. So, it was this obscure thing that they got me on. And I could have fought it, and I thought about it, and the more I thought about it, the more I realized that it was just going to be one thing after another, and it had already taken everything away from me. My practice was, like, completely gone. Like, I was so exhausted. I wasn't practicing. I wasn't meditating and taking care of myself in the way that I needed to in that sense. I hadn't worked on the book at all in the entire time that I had been working at that school. And my priorities were out of whack as a result. And I loved it, and I was feeling a whole lot out of it. But something happened in that I did this spell because I wanted to get this job and to go back into the world and do this. And I was looking for what was my new normal? And if I could create my new normal, what was it going to be? And so I did the spell. I got the job, kind of my dreams, really. I mean, if I think about it. And it happened in this very magical way. And then it was all gone. And I realized that this thing that I wanted, when it had left me, it didn't leave me with anything other than emptiness, right? Like, just sadness. Like, I had met these kids, and I had gotten, you know, I'd become part of their lives and their family, and met their family and their parents or my friends. Like, it was just very weird. The whole thing was very weird and strange. And it wasn't okay that it worked out that way, but it needed to work out that way. And it took a long time because I was in a dark place. Like, I was so depressed, and it was just over this idea that, like, what's my new normal? Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, this thing that the things that I'm good at, I can't really get into, right? Like, I can't go back and do choreography and do the stuff full time because there's always going to be a problem now. There's always going to be a parent. There's always going to be a thing. And that does matter. Parents really freak out when they think that you're like a Satanist trying to get their kids to worship the devil. And that's where it came from, right? It's always going to be a thing now. I can't get away from Devin Hunter's work that he loves and that he did, right? Like, that's not okay either. So I was in this really, like, messed up place. And the biggest thing about it was this feeling that I still have a lot of life in me, and I still have a lot of things that I want to do and a lot of things that I want to create, but I didn't know where best to be putting those energies. And in this time, it was hard because, you know, it pretty much all the things that I was trying to sculpt this new identity around just got ripped away. And it was so very clear, like, in two ways. Let's just be real, right? So, first thing is, my spirits were pissed. They were pissed that they had dusty altars and limpy candles. They were not okay with it. And I totally felt like I was getting smacked a little bit because of that during that whole experience, not gonna lie. And the other thing was that I don't do a lot of spells for myself. And this is something that I harp on all of you about. I'm always like, oh no, do magic for yourself. Because at one point I ran off of spells. Like, I ran off of fast money spells when I was like a bartender and a server. Oh my goodness. Like, I get it, right? I totally get it. The flip side of it, though, is that I have gotten to the point where I'm like, well, if I'm at the stage in my life where I need a spell for like a regular everyday thing, then I'm not living my life in accordance that's bringing those things to me. So I'd rather adjust my vibration and adjust, you know, certain things and do my magic in a certain way that I have learned to be very effective in my life. Than to go all out and do a spell all the time and things like that. I do them, of course, but it's usually that I'm doing them for somebody else. So I was in this spot where I did this spell, and it was totally out of my heart in the moment, and I did the thing, and it felt like it clicked, and it was like, okay, this is cool. And then it fucking worked, and that was amazing. But it gave me something that, yes, I wanted, but it was not good for me. And it wasn't that I wasn't good at it, right? But it took me away from my path. And realizing that took a long time, right? It was this thing that I wanted. It's a total five of cups kind of scenario in the tarot, right? So you've got five cups and three of them are spilt over, or like spilt on the table. And there's two that are still upright. And you've got this person just kind of looking down, and they're just kind of like lamenting that three of their glasses of wine have been spilled over. But what if you look at the card, at least the traditional Rider-Waite deck, you've got an image that shows the like green liquid like coming out of the cups that had been spilled. And the idea behind it, to me as a reader, has always been like, thank God that those spilled, because that was poison. That wine is not green, right? There's red wine in those other cups that didn't spill. Drink those. But there was something bad in those cups that did spill. So we, you know, anyway, so this was my five of cups moments, and it took me a while to figure it out. And again, I was really sad, right? Because it's this thing that I loved, and I was very much trying to go and forge this new kind of path for myself. But in reality, there wasn't anything to reinvent, like originally. Like at the beginning of the year, I was feeling like I had to reinvent myself. And, you know, as I was trying to figure out where to go, like what was going to be my new normal. And I didn't need to do that. I mean, I guess I did to some extent. I think, you know, everybody needs to find purpose, but I didn't have to go through the kind of hoops and crazy crap that I ended up going through in the process of just trying to feel useful. And I realized like that's really kind of what it boiled down to. And it's kind of silly to say it out loud now, but I wanted to be useful and I wanted to be helpful. And that's just such a part of like who I am that it's gotten me in so much trouble in life, but it's also kind of okay because at least I get in trouble for like trying, you know, or whatever. Anyway, so my thing has been that in all of this, I was just in this really dark place, like, or after all of this, I was just in this really dark place, and it hurt to feel like what I was doing didn't matter, and that I wasn't able to create something that was going to matter. And it's such a weird thing, because it's not in the, I'm not saying this from like an ego place. Like it's just this genuine compulsion that I have, where I, you know, I don't have kids, so all of that kind of like, you know, energy goes somewhere, and it hopefully is going into the right places usually. And so it was just weird to, you know, start something and feel like I was meant to be there and meant to do it, and then have the universe kind of be like, slap. And it hurt. And so it was very difficult. And I went through this whole like dark night of the soul thing. And I was angry for a couple of weeks. I had like stress breakouts. I was just really unhappy. And then I started to around Samhain. At Samhain, I did a ritual, and I just kind of surrendered all of it. And I was like, look, I love who I am, and I realize that I just need to evolve. I don't need to reinvent, and that's okay. And so I'm here to figure out what the next evolution is, right? It isn't necessarily about trying to find this new thing in a new era. It's just is about stepping into the one that is being presented to me. And that was so difficult. Like that shadow work surrounding that was super difficult. And while all that was going on, while all that was happening, I was going through this other stuff where I felt like the stuff that I had been doing, nobody was seeing, and like it didn't matter to people. And part of it again is, again, we have like this super limited niche, and I know a lot of people in the publishing industry. And so fiction authors tend to like talk a lot to their readers. And I don't necessarily get that as a nonfiction author. Well, apparently a lot of witchy authors don't. And so unless you're following us on social media and interacting with us, like we don't even know that you're out there doing your thing. And so that's why, like, it seriously, we love it when you say hello, and we love it when you leave reviews and you let us know that what we're doing matters. Like, all of that is so special to us. And it's just, I was in this weird headspace where I felt like nobody was reading what I was writing, and I wasn't being successful. And it really bothered me. And it's kind of silly because I'm not unsuccessful as a witchcraft author. Like, I don't want to sound like an asshole, but I'm not. And I do pretty good. And I am very proud of what I've accomplished. And I'm really proud that people want to invite my thoughts and my practices into their own practice. Like, there's no greater honor. But it's this thing of like, wondering, okay, well, what's next? And at some point, again, I got to the point where I was like, well, I don't want to just come up with a bunch of bullshit and then say that, oh, this is this witchcraft thing. Because I was starting to feel like that was everywhere. I was starting to feel like people were running out of content. And so everything was just recycled. And I didn't want to be that guy, because I've always given you something new. I've always provided something that hadn't existed before when I wrote a book. It's a key thing for me, and it's something that has to be on that checklist when I hand that manuscript in, that there's something new that's adding to the discussion. And I started to get worried that y'all were sick of hearing me, and that I wasn't being very useful to the discussion. So that just kind of totally sucked. And yeah, so in all of that, while all of it was happening, I definitely, well, while I was going through my healing process afterwards, I definitely ended up having some very interesting conversations with the spirits that I do work with and who I had neglected. And it, you know, besides the what you'd exactly expect, right? Like the what the fuck, bro. Aside from that kind of stuff, it was a lot of just me becoming aware that I'm not as like useless as I guess I was feeling. And it's so weird to say that because I just turned 37 and I have this, you know, of course, I'm in my head, I'm like 80 years old, but I just turned 37 and I have, you know, I have 5 books out. I've got a 6 coming in, and I feel so lame saying all of this stuff to you about me feeling like I needed a purpose and blah, 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 blah. Like I realize I've been really, I don't even want to say lucky, because I work really hard for all the things that have happened, right? All the work and the books and the stuff. Like it's not luck by any means. A little bit of magic for sure. But it isn't luck. I wouldn't call it luck. But I will say I've been fortunate that opportunities have lined up the way that they have. And I count my blessings. More than anything, I just feel fortunate that I do have the listeners and I do have the readers. And like, that's just, it's a privileged place. I know I'm really picky and choosy about who I read and who I listen to and like all of it. And I know you are too. So it matters to me. And I was starting to just feel like I was getting drowned out by all the noise. And it was a lot of freaking noise. There is a lot of noise. And it just got hard, right? Like when I started the show, I was very proud to call myself a professional witch. And I realized people kind of snickered at that. But it was okay, because it was like a mission for me. And then I woke up one day a couple of years ago, and there were all of these 17 and 18 year olds calling themselves professional witches. And like, if you looked up hashtag professional witch, like that was what you were seeing where, and it was just this, it hurt. Like it hurt in that sense that like, it kind of hollowed out what like I was, what I felt I had built and I had like done around that term and with that work. And then the other part of it was that it also made it feel like there was no genuine approach to it where people were going to notice it anymore. Right. Like at that point, it just started to become more about getting outrageous and getting, you know, attention. And I'm not here for that, actually. Like, that's not my jam. I am a very chill motherfucker. And I mean, believe it or not, like, I prefer things to be very chill and calm. And I avoid things that will make life not calm whenever possible, unless it's something that's like going to really benefit me or my family. So I just don't like online drama, and I don't like the troll, like all of it's just like, I don't understand why that we have like witchcraft online trolls. Like, I just don't get it. Like, I think it's the silliest thing. I have a grown man in his 50s who like stalks everything I do and has sock accounts. And every time I announce something, he comes out with it. It's just a whole, like, it's so weird. It's so weird. Like, I don't get it. Like, don't you have something to do? Like, what did I, like, it's so weird. And I know that, like, me being so out and open about my witchcraft and who I am in general has been a good thing in that, like, people can't dox me. Like, there is no doxing me. I go by my real name. Like, there's no, like, I can't hide from who I am, right? Like, so the good thing is you can't dox me. Everybody knows who I am. This is what you got. But the flip side of it is I also can't, like, go out into the muggle world and have a normal life, like, or anything that's kind of like it. So this was a year of, like, processing that and just kind of dealing with that and what that means, and what that means when you get to a place where you aren't really feeling inspired to create a whole bunch of content, right? And like, what does that mean, at least as an author? And I walked away feeling actually pretty good. So I will say, like, all of this was horrible. It was not something I recommend at all, but I will say that because I am a witch, I did have the tools to actually take care of this as I needed to when I was ready to. So I am going to say this. And what I mean by that is I knew that I knew how to heal myself because I had done shadow work. I knew how to deal with what I was feeling. I knew how to process it. I knew how to make sure that it wasn't getting the best of me once I recognized that it was getting the best of me. And if it wasn't for that stuff, I probably would still be brooding and very steamy and angry about everything and, you know, all of it. I'd still probably be quite lost. But I had these just the basic tools of witchcraft, right? The basic tools. I had my spirits to talk to me and give me guidance. I had meditation to help keep my head on straight because I have also got diagnosed with ADHD and all of the shit was going on. And, you know, going through that stuff and realizing that, like, there are bigger priorities, right? And the craft, if anything, helps you become aware of how you spend your energy. And that is what I needed more than anything right after that. So I had, like, just my basics, and I fell back on my basics. And I'm so glad I did, because I was able to get through this huge hurdle. And in a normal situation, I would probably have poo-pooed it. I probably would have been like, no. And it's not because I think I'm too good for anything. It's just that at some point you're like, well, that doesn't work anymore. I'm just going to, you know, I need something else. It's like a drug, right? You need something a little harder. I need a little harder meditation now. I need a little harder grounding now. You know, that kind of stuff. I just said, no, I'm going to go back to my basics. And because I felt so lost that I'm like, the only thing I can really think to do is treat myself like I would treat a student or a client. Right. And I'm always saying this to everybody, like, treat yourself like you treat your clients, and then and give yourself the advice you'd give your clients and act on it. Right. So that's what I did. And hallelujah, like, things started to clear up. So by the time we hit, I would say, like, definitely the solstice, like, I was feeling pretty good. And I was in a place of gratitude, and I was able to look back and count my blessings and realize that for me, I probably don't need to write, like, a bunch of nonfiction books and write a bunch of witchcraft books, right, by myself, right? Like, if I'm going to do something, I should probably get to the point where, oh, like, I'm interested in doing this one thing with this other person. Let's see if they're interested in that and maybe do that, right? Or maybe I should, instead of worrying about nonfiction, write some fiction. I've always wanted to do that. I had done that last year, right? So I thought, okay, I'm going to do that instead. And as far as my work as an author and a teacher and all of that stuff, I have books coming out over the next 2 years. I don't really need to worry about it. And in addition to that, the energy I would be spending writing and kind of perseverating over books, I could just work on I could give to my community. I could give to the people and the things and the activities that made me feel safe and made me feel like I could explore my spirituality in the first place. And so in the spirit of all that, here we are. And I'm trying to keep it real with you and be honest with you. And I've written about this kind of stuff on the blog, and it's just not always that I do it in front of a microphone. And so I'm trying to orient that to you all, because if you are a podcast listener, that means you've probably been following me for a really long time. The show's been on for almost 15 years. And so that's a long time. And chances are you are also probably, I don't know, not in your 20s, or at least, you know, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's so awesome you're in your 20s. The 20s were the shit. But there's, you know, at some point you're going to need more. And I just want to say it's okay to need more. It's okay to want more and to try to refigure, or kind of figure out rather, how everything fits into your life at any stage. It's okay to ask that question. It's okay to wonder those things. It's okay to feel like you don't have a purpose for a while and then to find that purpose. And I knew it was okay to feel that way when I felt that way. But I also know that a lot of people don't know that it is okay to feel that way. I want to say that, hey, your witchcraft basics totally still work, even though you've been practicing for 20 plus years. It totally works. It's great. And I want to tell you that more than anything, it really truly is about evolution. It isn't about reinventing. It isn't about trying to fix yourself. It isn't about any of those things. It's about evolution. It's about evolving, because time is evolving. Things are always growing. It is about that forward progress. And whenever we take a look into the back and we try to pull something from the past, if we haven't done the work around it, like the shadow work, the things around it, it is going to become a ghost that haunts us, right? It's going to become something that can come in and suddenly become a liability. And I really just needed that reminder, because as hoity-toity as I am, as an author, as somebody who has been published and gets paid to talk about his weird spiritual shit, I have to tell you, it's still weird for me too. It's still full of lessons for me too. I still fall on my ass too. And any author who tells you that they are not falling on their asses is lying. Right? We have this thing in our community where people, and it's always been this way ever since before I was an author, we have big name pagan, right? We have this idea that there's these people out there who have some magical skeleton key that fixes it. And they don't, folks. They do not. So here we are. Right? I am in my late 30s somehow. When I started this podcast, I was in my early 20s. I have books published. I am in this strange, beautiful polyamorous relationship I never thought I'd be in, right? I got married. I have ADHD. I have too many cats, and I don't know what to do with myself. And you know what? That's okay, because it isn't really about figuring that out right now. I think more than anything, it's just about being in the moment and appreciating the moment. And I'm okay with that. But it also, I think more than anything, in this journey of me trying to, open up a little bit more with everyone, because I realize that's what it's going to take for me to build the community that I want. I'm going to need to open up and share more about my experience personally, instead of just asking people about theirs in interviews. I wanted to let you know that nobody's got to figure it out. And we're always going to be going through these experiences. And I'm so glad that I knew that in the back of my head. I'm so glad that I had gone through all of the heavy, intense shadow work stuff that I had to go through when I was younger. I'm so glad that I had been through therapy sessions and I knew how to phrase something and ask myself something. Like, I'm so glad I'd done the work so that when I got to this point, it didn't cripple me, which is what it would do otherwise, because I am a very emotional person. I am somebody who feels everything. If I read some crappy comment from somebody online, I take it personally, right? Like, I have to continuously remind myself, it's just the internet, don't take it personally, right? Like, I'm that guy. So it's real, right? The magic is real. The things that we do, the long-term work matters. And I just want to tell you that. I want to tell you that from experience. I want to tell you that as somebody who is still growing and still evolving. The work matters, and it's effective, and that is incredible. Even if you walk away, even if you forget about it and you put it down because you get so busy and there's so many things that are going on and you feel like you're a bad witch, the work works. The stuff still does what the stuff is supposed to do, and that is powerful to me. And I wanted to share that with you. And I wanted to be open and honest about, hey, this weird thing happened. I caused this weird thing to happen. And then these other things happened around it. And it was totally part of the spell. And then it fell flat and it really sucked and it hurt. And I got back up and I did the basics and I healed. And now I can talk about it and I can share that with you. And that's what I want to do. And that's what I felt called to do. As I've been sitting here reminiscing and trying to think about just what really the work of the future is for myself. I think it is about just this kind of stuff. It's about sitting in front of a microphone, probably more than anything, and saying, hey, and whether I'm doing it this way or I'm doing it on YouTube or I'm doing it in some other format, whatever, but trying to bridge that and just let you know, like, hey, I get it. It's weird. You know, I'm this is out there specifically to the people who've been practicing for quite a while and just kind of feel like, what the fuck? Like, it is weird. It is okay. We do kind of get to a point where it's like, what's next, right? It's okay. We will figure it out because we got the basics. We got the things, right? And more than anything, it's what are you inspired to do? And right now I'm inspired to try to build some community, to try to be as authentic as possible and to get through this cancer rising thing that I have where I just want to shell up and not really talk to anybody unless I have to, right? Here I am. Please, 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 please join me in that discussion. So anyway, to that point, I will say I have not been doing Modern Witch stuff through all this, though. I have actually been doing live videos on YouTube. I've been live streaming on YouTube interviews, and there's quite a few of them, actually. And I realized that I think I have 11 interviews in my queue right now that are already done. They were meant to be on the show, but things had been going like so crazy. And in my ADHD head, I did the interview, so I was done. So I didn't need to do the audio stripping and put it into the podcast and do it. Oh my goodness. So I always wanted to have a nice fat bank of interviews. Well, now I do. I have kind of too much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to start dropping them as frequently as I can, provided my service provider is cool with it. Because they do tend to be kind of longer episodes. But yeah, so I'm going to just get them out as quickly as I can and give them to you because they're there. And these poor authors have been waiting. It's just been there on YouTube. So to that effect, you should definitely check out YouTube and just go to Modern Witch on YouTube, Modern Witch Official, type in Devin Hunter. I'm there. It's very easy to find me. And you will get much more consistent like updates and things like that. I am so sorry, but that is just kind of how the system works right now. It's all about streaming and trying to do more video. And that is really been where my energy has been focused at for the last couple of months. And I kind of forgot about the feed. It wasn't until Amy Blackthorne messaged me and said, hey, remember that interview that we did? And I went, oh crap. And so she ended up playing the interview on her podcast because it was just sitting on my computer. Like they're done. It's just a matter of getting them on this particular stream. So if you're tired of waiting or you're wondering like, hey, what's going on? Go to YouTube because it's there. And again, I have like a boatload of interviews. So I'm just going to start dropping them. I wanted to drop this because I wanted to let you know what was going on and why I hadn't been producing in the way that I had intended to, but also to let you know that like, hey, life happens and magic is very real. And sometimes it takes you by surprise. And so, yeah. So that all being said, do check out modernwitch.com. We just announced the Witchcraft and Occult Media Awards. Go vote. It's free. It's a wonderful way of letting your favorite authors and product makers and musicians and bloggers and podcasters know that you like what they do, right? It's the only award ceremony like it out there. And we've been doing it for, I think this is our fifth year, and every year it just gets a little better and better and better. And this year we have way more nominees than we've ever had. We have more categories, and we did our best to make sure that when we were selecting the categories that we were really representing as many niche areas as we possibly could when we were creating those categories. So please go vote. We have until the 26th of January. If you're listening to this episode before then, it is it is all about going out and supporting your favorite creators right now, specifically occult creators, because again, yeah, we don't really get overlooked, right? And the world doesn't quite like a lot of witches, as I was just reminded in a very real way, right? So go do that. Go support them. Go vote. Go to modernwitch.com. You can find all that stuff out. Without further ado, I told you it was rambly, right? I warned you about the rambliness. I'm going to summarize everything by this. Stay true to yourself. Look for the next step. Don't look behind you, right? Don't try to go backwards and look forward at the same time. You're going to fall. It sucks. It's not very fun. And I love you. I love you because you listen. I love you because you tune in, right? I love you because you are working on yourself just like I'm working on myself. And if anything, in that like namaste kind of way, right? In that we are all here on this rock trying to figure this shit out together kind of way. I love you. And it sucks sometimes, but it's okay. And truthfully, what I learned more than anything was that it is your community. It is the people who love you that help get you through. And that was what I was reminded of this fall. And I wanted to pay that forward. I wanted to send that energy to you. Even if I don't know you, I love you because you deserve that love. And I love you because you are trying. And that's rough sometimes. So thank you for it. Anyway, stay tuned. We've got the next episode is going to be a regular type of episode, and it is with Martha Kirby Capo, who is the other half of the authorship of Thrift Witchery. And that interview was amazing, and all of the interviews that are coming to the pipeline are amazing. So again, thank you for tuning in. If you liked this episode, let's reach out and let me know on social media or in the comments, because maybe we'll do more of this kind of thing and at least try to produce more of this kind of stuff along with the interviews, and we'll see. I don't know, but yeah, okay, thank you very much. Thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next week.
There are forces at work here, dark, incomprehensible forces.
Satyrs Incorporated.